California and UNCG Picture Center Studio. My name is Nick Ryan, and I'm a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech this year, you can go ahead and head on over to techpodcast.com. I've got 30 other technology stories for you over there as well. I'd like to encourage everybody to visit us online over at picture.com. Please do subscribe to the show if you have not already done so. And for those of you who have, thank you for subscribing. Let's go ahead and get into some of the cool stuff I found for this episode. Starting off over at ZDNet and Jamie's Mostly Linux Stuff blog, he has a blog post here. This is by J.A. Watson. Experiments with my new laptop, Linux, and UEFI. So for those of you who know, UEFI is kind of the new-ish BIOS standard thing as a lot, but it's just now starting to get adoption by the various manufacturers out there. And so UEFI is exactly what I was thinking about, it's going to work on our enterprise and also support Microsoft Security. So that's been like a really big deal, if you will, in terms of just what, just because of paying Linux to boot on a security system. So anyway, he got a new laptop, a Compact 15 laptop, that had Windows 8.1 and UEFI slash BIOS boot. He tried Fedora and Corora. Fedora installed with no problems, it recognized all the hardware and worked well. The Fedora allowed USBM included in RAM and all the critical hardware bits work. And he said that in the context of critical, he's using that to indicate the fact that sometimes good Linux difficulties, such as the graphics controller, Wi-Fi adapter, and such, installation was smooth, absolutely routine. UEFI appears to work. He left secure boot enabled. He had no problem booting the live USB image. Fedora installed its own signed SHIM file for the installed image. Also boots just fine with UEFI secure boot enabled, and obviously also works with secure boot disabled. So pretty cool. Definitely, it sounds like, Linux in the last 6 months or so has come a long way in booting on UEFI, which is a good thing. It's definitely something that's been a point of contention for quite some time, and it's good to see that it's really kind of coming to its own, if you will. So, pretty neat. From the New York Times, picking a flavor of Linux. I want to install Linux on an old PC to get a few more years out of it, but I don't know which version to use. This is a question being asked. What is the difference between Ubuntu and Linux? For a new user, can order any free guide to using either? Now the question is, Linux is an alternative operating system for computers. It's similar to Windows and Mac OS X, but also different, just like Windows and OS X are different from each other. It comes in many versions of so-called distributions. Some of these distributions are easier to learn than others, and each one has an list. However, Linux makes an Ubuntu have emerged as two of the easiest options for those new to the system. So, the rest of the answers are a quick one now. This is on New York Times, but definitely check it out if you are looking for a version of Linux to try out, potentially for the first time, or if you're just looking for new versions of software to try out, definitely check them out. From Tweaktown, Pennsylvania High School adopts Linux and rolls out laptops to students. Pennsylvania High School in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, will embrace the open source Linux platform and starting on more than 1,700 laptops. Every student at Pennsylvania has received an Acer Tablet laptop powered by the Ubuntu 15.10 OS, and the student body was encouraged to explore the OS and push its limits. Awesome. I love hearing about stuff like that. Totally neat. From decryptedtech.com, a Unity 8 launch has been delayed by developer. We are not sure when necessarily it may come out. This feature is implemented in the new Chronicles Browser User Interface in Unity 8. It has So I can't write at the same time that I'm learning to figure out meanings in this new book. Also, thank you guys for news over at ITY.com. Mark Sutter, Russia CEO of Canonical, which is the company behind Ubuntu, said that Ubuntu will switch to System D. This news comes on the heels of Debian announcing that it's switching to System D. Now, Ubuntu is based off of Debian, so in my view, this kind of makes sense. Debian is going to use System D as its default for system initialization stuff. It makes sense that Ubuntu would do so as well, just so that there is some kind of a new field. I said this, I pretty much covered this in the last book of the world in the blog. You know, it makes sense to do things like that where we've only got one or two relatively popular choices, maybe even just one de facto choice, and it's the best one. You know, you're obviously everyone's going to do something different, particularly with the open source. But, you know, this is one of those things where I think this is a good thing. But, you know, System D is not actually a good thing. Software was originally developed by Red Hat as part of their initialization system. So it's kind of nice that, you know, we're starting to have a couple of the top level distributions that a lot of other distributions are based off of, kind of compiling to a standard, if you will. So we've been monitoring this and seeing how it goes. From EF Live Time, here's a this story. I thought I would include this. I just thought it was cool. 25 mythical and humorous facts about Linux creator Linus Torvalds. Some of the humorous facts and or mythical, if you will, facts are pretty interesting. So as a child, his initial words were syscalls. His DNA is in binary. His first written program of artificial intelligence. I mean, this is like the world's most interesting man. Any of you seen, particularly here in the US, any of you have seen the beard commercial, the boss up is the world's most interesting man. And this is kind of over the lines. Really, I thought it was just great. Definitely check out the 25 mythical and humorous facts about Linus Torvalds. I thought it was a pretty interesting movie. The register tagging teasing continues as new members join, but none pledge devices. Tagging, we've reported on this, it's kind of a long-running, when is this thing actually going to become available type of deal. The mobile operating system driven by the Linux Foundation has added 15 new members, including Chinese smartphone maker UQE and Japanese operator SoftBank Mobile, and a major name now on board includes Chinese search giant Baidu and U.S. operator Sprint, back last year by SoftBank. The remainder of the 15 compromised mainly mobile games for software developers. Nobody, again, like I said, nobody actually pledged the release date of the patent. I find it interesting that, you know, all these companies are joining the Linux Foundation and Tizen in particular. So, so from EMAmericas.com, Argentina and Venezuela are collaborating on open source software. Argentina and Venezuela have started working together on the development of open source software. According to Venezuela's ICT ministry, the development teams of Argentina's Uraya and Venezuela's Kenyoma, the new Linux operating systems have met and will continue working to exchange their knowledge and experiences for the development of the system. It's one of those things where, you know, in a short term, we kind of want to see much better successful in the longer term. That will do it for this edition of Linux Feedback. Everything we talk about is this week up in the show notes. You'll see the videos online over at quickstep.com, where you can also find the show notes. And with that, I will see you on the next episode.